Are you the kind of person that returns your shopping cart?
Every single time.
Really?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Are you an animal?
It's raining outside, okay? It's dark
Okay.
and it's a little scary outside. You gonna return that shopping cart?
And there's a guy like coming towards you and he's
No.
got a gun and a hoodie.
Yeah. What kind of person are you?
Here's the deal. My first husband, he was not a nice person, but he also would get violently angry if you didn't return a shopping cart.
Oh
And
no.
so he was just like super mad. And he wasn't like violently angry at me because I always did it because I was afraid of him. But at
No.
other people, he was so angry. Like
Oh
he would like
no.
want to fight them for not putting back their shopping cart. It's funny because I don't realize that I do it because of that, but until you said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to return home. But also, we had just bought a new car because our car, we got hit by a semi truck. Remember that? A couple,
Yeah.
like 8 years ago. And so our Prius got totaled. So we got a Camry.
Yeah.
And as soon as we got the Camry, it wasn't brand new, but it was new to us.
Yeah.
A shopping cart, like, got a car. It had to have been coming at great speeds because it really destroyed the door of our new car that we had just got.
Oh no.
And so I just am like, oh, I don't want that to happen to somebody else's car. So I brought it
Right.
back because of that. But I also don't have tiny kids. Like my kids can do
Right.
all that stuff on their own. I think it gets trickier when you've got little people that you have to manage.
Right.
So you just like put it up on a curb or whatever.
Those are good reasons, and I'm so sorry that I even brought this up now.
Oh, it's like you knew that I was afraid of not putting back a shopping cart. Go ahead. What's your reason?
You just never know people's stories. What's my reason? I don't have a reason. I don't do it.
You don't do it. Not even at Aldi?
No, most of the time. So always return at Aldi, and I pretty much always shop there.
Okay.
Or pick up my groceries. So I don't have to do it a lot, but what I always do is look for a shopping cart thing and park next to it,
Yeah.
which I think is a normal mom move.
It's a mom move. But okay, so you don't park next to it.
Say I don't.
Say you don't. It is dark. It is raining.
I'm not doing it. I'm not gonna return
What
that
do?
guy.
You just leave it. Where do you leave it?
I leave it like really close to my car, like
In
to
an
where it's
empty
not gonna
shopping.
block. Yeah, where it's not going to block anyone's car so everyone can still do their thing. If it's windy, obviously, I'm returning that joker because I'm not trying to have anyone's car be ruined.
But you leave it in a parking space? Because
Yeah.
then other people can't park there, Katie.
No, I leave it in a place where we're good to go. Everyone's good to go.
Everyone that's there right now is good to go.
Is someone going to park in the middle of the four parking spaces if I'm putting it on the crisscross intersection of the parking spaces?
They're on wheels.
This is like 10% of the times that I go out.
Okay, you are backpedaling here, and I don't appreciate
I'm gonna do this just to make you mad. I want to do it every time now. I feel like you're judging me what kind of person I am.
You did just ask me what kind of person I am.
Well, your person turned out better than my person, and I don't like it.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Struggle Well Project, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so that we don't need to be having everybody run away from home. Let's go ahead and not run away from home. We believe here that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. So at the top of the show, you heard my sister accidentally asking me about something that was a trigger for me in my first marriage to a super duper abusive guy. Bless her heart, that was awkward for her. She couldn't have known. There was no way to know. But if you love hearing my sister get herself in awkward situations and you want more of it, we have two additional shows just for our Patreon Struggs. You get to show your support of the show and get access to additional content. It ends up being about 10 cents a day. I'm pretty sure you have that. Plus, you get to be part of a closed Facebook group with all the other Patreon Struggs. So head over to patreon.com/strugglewellproject and you can listen to everything we have put up to this point. Lots and lots of extra content for you there. Okay. Ready? Okay. I felt like a cheerleader there for a second. I promise you, I was never a cheerleader. Nothing against cheerleaders. I just, that would have been a disaster. I'm not very coordinated. Okay. So this is the third in a four-part series where we're going to break down the word well. And I'm telling you, I cannot remember what that word is. Is it an acronym where you break down a word into different words? I don't think it is. I keep wanting to say a parallelogram, and I know for sure that's not right. And I'm sure that you guys are yelling the correct word at me right now, but unfortunately, I can't hear you. So we're going to call it an acronym, even though I do not think that's what it is. I'm actually sure that it's wrong. Anyway, I want to give you a simple memory device, whatever you want to call it. Acrostic? That might be it. I want to give you a simple way to remember how to struggle well in the middle of the struggle. So it's four easy things that spell W-E-L-L. And don't forget my lovely assistant, Katie, who is my assistant and my sister, who made up that word, assistant. She made a printable to help you remember all four of these parts, and you can take notes and all that, and you can get it for free, 90 free, at strugglewellproject.com/printable. You can download that. So go ahead and head back to number 177 for the W part of this acrostic, if that's right, and also episode 181, where we talk about the E and what that means. So this today is the first L. And the next and final one is going to be coming in a couple weeks. Really do go back and catch those. I put a lot of thought into them, and I think they're really helpful. We need easy things to hold on to when we are about to freak out. So that is what this is for. My prayer is that remembering what well means, W-E-L-L, will help you get yourself out of a pickle when you find yourself in one, which is probably going to happen here in the next couple minutes, right? They seem to come frequently. So let's review for those of you who have listened. Say it with me. The W is for, what does it stand for? Wait. E is for expect. And L today, the first L, stands for look again. So we've all seen the optical illusion pictures where in one picture, you clearly see either an old lady or a young lady. Or you can clearly see a duck or you see a bunny. Depends on how you look at it. Or the one where there's either two silhouettes looking at each other of faces or like a wine goblet, right? This is a perfect example of the fact that the first thing you see is definitely not all there is to a situation. Remember those magic eye pictures where you kind of stare at it and then eventually another image pops out? Upon careful study and lots of concentration, it looks completely different than it did when you first saw it. Or at least I've heard that. The magic eye pictures only ever gave me magic headaches. I can't see them. That's fine. I've made peace with it. So look again is a fancy way to say change your perspective. We talk about perspective shifts a lot here. That's this look again part. Henry David Thoreau, he's an American poet, and he says, it's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. So we are going to be looking again. Can I ask you a personal question? How would you rate your deodorant? Do you ever feel like it's not really working? That it just kind of masks the smell, but it doesn't really do anything to stop the smell? I've tried a lot of natural deodorants. That's really all I wear. And what I really love is this Hug Me deodorant that I've been trying. And you can try it yourself with their satisfaction guarantee. Hug Me deodorant is by Bloom, that's B-L-U-M-E, and it's made with probiotics. What? The probiotics encourage your body to make more good bacteria, and as a result, your body makes less bad bacteria, and so you don't have BO. That's amazing. It lasts for 24 hours, and it doesn't have to be reapplied throughout the day. And I'm sure you already knew this, but most antiperspirants have aluminum, which gets absorbed in our bloodstream, and it's been linked to cancer. Breast cancer runs in my family, and I don't want any of that. The New York Post has rated Hug Me deodorant the best deodorant ever. And you can try it risk-free for 30 days, or you get your money back. This is a product that really lives up to the hype. Hug Me by Bloom keeps you feeling good, feeling fresh, and super huggable. Right now, Struggle Well Project listeners will get 25% off their first stick and free shipping when you text SWP to 797979. This is a special offer. You can't get it anywhere else. And you will be supporting the Struggle Well Project when you support our sponsors. So text SWP to 797979 to get 25% off your first stick of Hug Me deodorant. If you don't love it, return it for a full refund. No questions asked. Text SWP to 797979. So when I lived in China, I spent a very frustrating semester teaching essay writing. Now, I love writing essays. I'm bad at a lot of things. I'm bad at basketball. I'm bad at grilling steak. But I am amazing at sounding incredibly intelligent in written form. I love order. I love structure. I love completing tasks. So basically, essays are my happy place. So the reason that this class was a nightmare was not the essays, it was not my lovely students, but it was the cultural differences that we had surrounding academic writing. Allow me to compare and contrast the essay writing styles of the two cultures. The only thing I can think of to compare them is that they both use words. Basically, everything else is different. In American writing, we have an introduction, a body, a conclusion. The last sentence in the introduction is the thesis statement. The thesis statement outlines the three main points of your paper, which incidentally and beautifully correspond to the paragraphs. They're in the same order. It's so nice. Then it's all tied up in a lovely bow at the end in the conclusion. In Western writing, we want to be concise. We don't want to ramble on and on. Ain't nobody got time for that. We want to systematically synthesize all the research that we found and form our own interpretations and make sure not to plagiarize, because that's bad news and it could get you kicked out of school. And finally, Western Writing 101. Nobody wants to hear cliches. They are, by definition, overused and betray lack of original thought. That is our worldview when it comes to essays. So this is a worldview that I brought when I went to teach English essay writing in China. And in China, this is how they like to approach writing. Say lots and lots of words. The more, the better. Organization, smorganization. The point of this paper is to leave the reader with happy and warm feelings in their heart. Don't say anything that's out of the cultural norm and draw solely on the wisdom of the ancient people. Ensure that you have said many things that Confucius said and include all of your favorite idioms and cliches at least once in every paper. I'm getting stressed out just thinking about it. It's basically the complete opposite of everything I love about writing essays. But just so you don't think that I'm a jerk, I'm not being rude to them. I'm not criticizing them. It's their culture, and the Chinese culture is amazing. And frankly, there's so much wisdom in looking back at what wise people before us have said and learned. We could really learn a lot by people who think that they should value the older people in their culture. We definitely stink at that. And in fact, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, and the Chinese are definitely wise to realize that. And also, by the way, there's the little thing called they are writing an academic essay in a foreign language, which I could never do in my life. So please hear me. They were amazing. We just had some serious disconnect about what we thought should happen in an essay writing class. So the reason I even bring any of this up is that the cliche that I think every single one of them put in literally every single paper that they wrote, regardless of the topic, was that every coin has two sides. I read this idiom so much my eyes bled. In fact, if I had a coin for every time that I read that every coin has two sides, I would be recording this from some kind of chateau in France, okay? And because I heard it so much from so many people, I have to say that the students won. They ground this idiom so deep into my psyche that I find myself repeating it over and over to you, even right now. So every coin has two sides. Every situation, every annoying person, every single struggle, there's two sides. We think seeing is believing, and it is. But honestly, when we see the giant face of the old lady, it's hard to think that there's possibly a young lady in that picture as well, in that optical illusion. But remember, every coin has two sides. Regardless of what you're looking at now, there is more to see. So look again. So how do we do that? Part of this has to do with the first two letters of the word well. First, we wait. Don't just barrel on with the first reaction you felt was right. Put a space, a small space even, between your impulse and the action. Hang out there in the discomfort of not acting. Next, E, expect. Expect that God is on the move. He is at work. He is for you. You are not fighting this battle alone. You are not a slave to the way that you've always been living. Expect that he set you free for the sake of freedom. You can't walk in that freedom if you don't believe you're free. So the L, look again, will yourself, make yourself flip the coin over and see what's on the other side of the same coin. Most people who lose weight gain it all back, but that is because most weight loss plans tell you what to do while you're on the plan, but not afterward. I've been using Noom. It's actually a really funny, lighthearted approach to something that most of us don't think is funny at all, trying to lose weight. Noom doesn't say that you can't have certain foods, but it teaches you about moderation. And when you do go a little overboard, there's no shaming, but just tips to get you back on track for tomorrow. What I like about it is it's on your phone whenever you need it, and it just takes about 10 minutes a day to complete all the tasks related to helping you think more healthfully about your weight loss. Noom provides you with a support team. You have a goal specialist, you have a nutrition expert, and a fitness trainer all in one. Noom is designed for results. One of the goals that I am working on with Noom is to have my pants fit. It's not a giant goal, but it would certainly be a comfortable thing to achieve. And my interactions with my goal specialist have been super fun and lighthearted. And I'm not even mad that they're trying to help me stick to my goals. So sign up for your trial today at Noom, which is Noom.com/SWP. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/SWP and start your trial today. Again, that's Noom.com/SWP. So let's look at some examples. How about a dirty, chaotic house? You live with a bunch of barn animals, and nobody but you can seem to find the trash can or the washing machine. Everywhere you look, you're stepping on Legos or Polly Pockets. You wish that you would not have to hear Caillou whining anymore. The other side of this crazy house coin is that you have a family that is doing their ridiculous life under one roof with you. And it's a mess, but it's beautiful. It won't always be like that. One day, they won't want to be home anymore, and you're going to miss their socks being everywhere, and you're going to wish there was cinnamon sugar all over the counter to wipe up because it meant that your kids were there making a mess. I know, that's hard, and it's pie in the sky and Pollyanna, and that's not what I'm trying to do, but just to give you an example that there is another side of the coin, and we can look again. Or how about look again and see the other side of the coin when your stinking kids are getting caught doing dumb stuff over and over and over. I have lots of those coins to look at in my house. The other side of that coin that older and wiser people have to tell me a lot is that it's a blessing for them to get caught being up to no good when the stakes are low and they're living under my roof. And I'm able to correct them and guide them and love them through it. I get so frustrated that my kids mess up in the same areas over and over. But hello, I do the same exact thing. But it gives me confidence to know that I went over the same thing with them 97,000 times. So if they grow up and do the thing anyway that they know they're not supposed to do, it was not a result of my lack of teaching it, because I taught it a lot. So every single situation can be looked at again. And if you're lost about how in the world your terrible situation could have a positive side, start by being thankful for it. I have not kept it a secret that my sweet daughter and I are locked in a battle of the wills on a regular basis. The other side of this character building coin is that God is using her to wear me out about the fact that God made her different than me. And that's not an accident, and it's not a bad thing. The other side of this coin about having an animal obsessed daughter is that I've actually started to really love dogs and horses. I still don't like cats. I did not see any of that coming. Another way that I've been changed by having the daughter that God gave me, she marches to her own drum. And I am far less judgy as a result of other moms whose kids don't fit what I think they should be like. And honestly, it's easier to see the other side of the coin when there's some healing and some time has passed. But ladies, I believe there's serious wisdom and a beautiful sacrifice in willing yourself to see the other side of the coin in the middle of kind of a turdy situation. So in the spirit of oversharing, I wanted to share two situations that I am in that are feeling kind of junk and how I'm struggling well by looking again at the situation right now. So the first one is my weight. I am overweight on the BMI, which is arguably not even accurate, but I know that I'm about 20 pounds heavier than I'd like to be and 20 pounds heavier than I always used to be. It's so embarrassing to talk about. I feel like a complete failure to say that I've been trying to lose weight for years and it's not happening. But honestly, I'm not really trying. I'm just thinking about trying. Anyway, I had a season in my life about 9 years ago where I was under a lot of stress and I lost weight effortlessly. It wasn't healthy, but it was easy. And I've recently started doing this crazy thing, though, where I exercise and eat healthy. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's the worst, though, because it isn't always fun, and it's a slow to make progress, and it takes a lot of time. But the other side of this healthy taking care of my body coin, and not just waiting for extreme stress to come so I can lose all the weight, is that I'm believing again, for the first time in a long time, that I can do hard things. I'm not stuck being overweight and tired all the time with clothes that don't fit. There is another side to the coin, and I am choosing to see the healthy side, even when it's not fun, even a little bit. Another coin that I'm in the thick of needing to flip over is going back to work. I know that you saw that coming. I feel like that's all I talk about these days, but it's a gigantic life change, and I did not see it coming. Being a working mom or a stay-at-home mom or not even a mom at all, I know that you can identify with life throwing curveballs at you, right? 3 months ago, I did not expect to be working full-time and going back to nurse practitioner school. A little over a year ago, I had no idea that I'd be sending my homeschooled kids to public school. All these little changes have come. We've walked through doors that God has opened, but they've been weird doors that we didn't even expect to be walking through. So the side of the coin that I've been looking at lately is how going back to work full time because I needed to help my family is making me not have a lot of time to do this podcast, which I love. It's really hard for me to do things kind of halfway. I see my other podcast colleagues killing it in ways that I don't have time to do it anymore. And I know it sounds dumb, but you can likely identify. I have lots of friends online that I have less in common with, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. I miss them, but I also don't feel like I fit in with them anymore. I don't feel like I fit any place at the moment, and it's uncomfortable. So I guess what I'm saying is that sometimes in those messy middle places where it's all really raw and unresolved, we need to spend some time turning that coin over and over and over again to see both of the sides. Because when we're trying to make decisions, they inevitably involve loss of some sort. All decisions do. So we need to look again lots of times sometimes with God right next to us. As we prayerfully ask him, what's next? What's wise? Sharing the concerns and the questions in our hearts with him. Because honestly, there's a lot of great things about my job, but there was a lot of great things about staying home. I tend to be a black and white thinker. I like to make judgments on situations way faster than is really wise, just so I can file it away as finished and move on to the next thing. A few years ago, I probably would have closed up this podcast immediately and thrown myself completely into nursing 100%. But with this decision about what to do with the show, I'm staying in this waiting place, even when it's painful. I'm expecting that God is at work, even when I don't know what's next. And I'm looking at it again from all sides with thankfulness, even when I don't want to feel thankful. I don't really love that I need to work right now. And I don't really love that my podcast friends are scooting along without me. Honestly, stopping the show completely would feel less painful because I wouldn't have to look at it. But I'm not clear right now that that's the final answer. So I continue to prayerfully wait, expect, and look again. So in the past months of busily starting a job and school, I've done this neat thing where I've gotten so busy in this transition that I'm not spending any time with God. I'm not praying. I'm not listening to him. I'm not meditating on his word. I'm just not. And the result, ladies, as you can imagine, is a dry and weary land where there is no water. My soul is parched. I'm doing a lot of good work, but it's all in my strength. And ladies, my strength is gone. I know that some of you can identify with that. There's no use spending time feeling bad about it. That just wastes more time and energy. I'm waiting a minute between the idea of beating myself up about not spending time with God. I'm just gonna wait, not beat myself up, expect and realize that he never left me and that he's up to something pretty great despite my silliness because he's only ever good all the time. And next, I'm looking again at the situation with gratitude to see what I missed the first time. So you see how you can apply these things to every situation, an actual situation, an internal dialogue, it doesn't matter. So I want to leave you with a verse that's been so sweet to me in this season of looking again, of feeling like I don't fit in, of not really spending time with God, of just being dry and just kind of in a weird place. It's Isaiah 43:19. So what has happened here in Isaiah is that the Israelites had been in exile. They were basically slaves in Babylon. And then exile's over, and God is comforting them and telling them, like, exile's over, hope is coming. But the Israelites don't see it that way. The Israelites believe that their situation was bad because God neglected them. It was actually, though, a natural consequence of them rebelling against God. But they didn't get it. Those Israelites. So in the middle of them still being mad at him, even though he got them out of exile, he's reminding them of his goodness and love towards them. He's imploring them to look again because he's up to something good. So Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Basically, God's saying, hey, look again. Do you see what I'm doing? I think you missed it the first time. He goes on to say, "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." That verse has been so encouraging to me because I feel a lot like I'm in a wilderness and a wasteland. And my sweet, gracious, patient God is telling me, look again. And he's saying the same thing to you. Look again. So that is all I have for this week. Just a reminder that if you got something great out of this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Hit share and send it along to a friend who needs to hear this message as well. They will be so thankful that you did. Also, don't forget to join me on Instagram at StruggleWellProject. Together, we can continue to practice loving our actual lives, and we can remember that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. Let's look again. Let me pray for us. Lord, as frustrating as it was to hear that every coin has two sides ad nauseum when I lived in China, I'm so thankful that it's been drilled into my brain because it helps me to remember that when things look bleak, you are up to something and there's another way to see it. So Lord, would you give us your eyes? Help us see things from an eternal perspective. Help us see what you're up to when the situations look bleak. And I really pray that you would encourage us and bless our socks off this week as we seek your face and look again. In Jesus' name, amen.